Welcome to this family service. I've got a few things to say first. First of all, it's a job to do. Bands. Are you ready? Good idea to have my specs on, I think. I'll find them. There they are. Good. Right. So I published The Bands of Marriage between Nicholas George Dumlinil, single of this parish, and Susanna Rhian Cobb, single of this parish. If any of you know cause or just impediment why these two persons should not be joined together in holy matrimony, ye are to declare it. This is the first, sorry, this is the third time of asking. Thank you. Just a few things on the notices. You've got the notice sheet, so you could look at the details. The Tiger Club is taking a break for summer, but they'll be back on the 11th of September. But they do need at least two more helpers. So if anybody feels called to help, you don't have to have any particular skills or anything like that, please contact Gail. Wickham Homeless Connection needs cake. You see the details on there as well. Distribution of the parish newsletter in pen needs help, but that's really for Pen, I think. Help for Pat Seddon, who does it all at the moment. Please pray for Amanda, Paul and Jean Rickett's daughter-in-law, Caden, Derek and Lane Carr's grandson, who really does need our prayers at the moment. Family of Anne Stockwell, funeral later on in the month. And the family of Christine Brown, another funeral. Our PCCs began the process of appointing a new vicar. The process takes about 8 months. Okay, let's take up our sheets. And welcome to this service. Our first hymn is Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, number 44.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Loving Lord Jesus, we have come to sing to you, to pray to you, and to hear you speaking to us. Help us to know that you are with us now and always. Amen. We sit for our confession. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let us bring our secret sins to his light and confess them to him. O God, our gracious Father, you know us as we really are. You know our selfishness, our anger and our resentment, our fear and laziness, our hardness of heart, our need to begin again. Father, we have failed you often and ask your forgiveness. Help us to live that others may know your love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We are forgiven. Isn't that wonderful? We can start again. God has forgiven us. The Collect. Lord God, your Son left the riches of heaven and became poor for our sake. When we prosper to save us from our pride, when we are needy to save us from despair, that we may trust in you alone, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And our next hymn, one of my favourites, Just As I Am Without One Plea, number 316. Catherine will come and give us our readings from the Bible.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 15, beginning to read at verse 1, and is entitled The Lord's Covenant with Abram. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. The New Testament reading is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, beginning to read at verse 32. Jesus said, Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will make them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Catherine. Make God happy. Give your BMW to me. I want us to imagine for a few minutes this morning that we become a fly on the wall of some good friends of ours, privileged to watch the interactions of their daily lives. Think of it as reality TV among friends. At first, everything seems quite normal, but it's the conversation at the dinner table that catches us by surprise. We're simply amazed by what we hear the parents saying to their children. Mum begins first. Children, we know that fruits and vegetables are probably good for you, but we have decided to let you eat pudding first. And if you don't want to eat the broccoli, that's okay with us. And then Dad speaks. And we've sold your bicycle helmets, and we removed the life jackets from the boat, and you don't have to wear your seat belts in the car anymore. Just then, when you think you've heard it all, Mum speaks again. When the school starts in September, homework will not be allowed at this home, and bedtime is whenever you choose. The kids begin to cheer, but it's not over yet. Dad says, and that thing about brushing your teeth and changing your underwear and going to Sunday school and tidying up your rooms, it's all overrated. You don't have to do any of that stuff anymore. And the last scene we see before turning off the television is these two little kids jumping up from their seats, grabbing their father's power tools and running with scissors in their hands as they go outside to play in the street. We're speechless. We'd no idea this was going on in the home of our best friends. We thought we knew them well. But what if it's all true? Then we're not sure we want to be associated with them anymore. The story I just described to you is obviously fiction. I made it all up. But what if it was true? That someone you knew very, very well turned out to be a radical troublemaker, whose ideas were so out of the mainstream and so contrary to what you believed that it might even be dangerous. If you can wrap your brain around that unlikely possibility, that somebody you know well could do and say such bizarre things, then you begin to get a picture of Jesus in the first century Israel. He was the one who was supposed to be the Messiah, the one who would show up and slay the enemy and provide peace and prosperity for the Jews and rule the kingdom with an iron fist. But then one day, this Messiah does come and he's saying things that defy what every self-respecting Jew ever believed. This sees Jesus says things like, "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. There's no difference between Jews and Greeks, slaves and their masters. I've come to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. If you love me, you will hate your mother and father, sister and brother. Love your enemies. Don't hate them. Love them. And sell your possessions and give money to the poor." If you've ever wondered why Jesus was so unpopular with the Jewish mainstream of his day, this is why. He turned their values upside down and replaced them with radical ideas. The first shall be last. The slave shall be free. The poor shall be rich. 20 centuries later, we read what Jesus said and did and say, "Quite right, Jesus. You really gave it to those pious Jews. Good for you." But what we fail to realize is that message of Jesus has not changed in 2,000 years. Except now, he's speaking to us. Today, we are the wealthy and proud. We are the ones comfortable in our religion and separated from those who are sinners. Today, we are the ones who believe that Jesus is for us and therefore against them. We assume that the words cannot be for us. There must be an error in translation from Greek to English. Jesus didn't really mean what he said. It's been said that Christians in this century grind the words of Jesus to fit our circumstances. Are we really supposed to sell our possessions and give money to the poor? Are we really supposed to visit the sick, the imprisoned, and the poor? Are we really supposed to choose the last in line as servant leaders? But what if we are? What if we really are? These are known as the hard sayings of Jesus. They might not be comfortable to us, But we must try to understand the values that Jesus holds before they can ever become our values. Now, it doesn't help that we begin with the first of these sayings, which has to do with our possessions. The text we read a moment ago starts out nicely enough when Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." He calls us his flock, his little lambs. And he tells us that we don't have to be afraid of God because God wants to give us a gift. We don't earn our way into the kingdom. We don't get there by doing good works. It's his gift to us, free and unmerited. But in the very next verse, Jesus hammers us. You're to sell your possessions, give money away. In another gospel, he says it this way: "If anyone wants to be my disciple, let him sell everything they own, give the money to the poor, take up their cross and follow me." What happened to "have no fear, little flock"? Surely he couldn't possibly have meant us to take that literally. Surely he did not mean that we should give away our homes, our bank accounts, our mobiles, and our season tickets, and live in poverty. We begrind it to fit. If we begin to think that Jesus meant we're expected to share a little bit with those who have little less with us, we may even have sacrificially given so that the church can build a new community centre, or so that children in Africa can attend school. But what if Jesus meant it literally? What if he truly meant we cannot have two masters, and if we worship money, we cannot worship him? What do we do with a command as radical as that? And it gets worse. Jesus tells us to be ready like servants whose master finds them watching when he comes home. One day, when we least expect it, Jesus will return in glory to judge the living and the dead. Will we be ready for that judgment? My talk is entitled, Make God Happy, Give Your BMW to Me. If you happen to own a BMW, you're probably feeling pretty picked on by now. So let's expand the target. If you went to make God happy, give your silver Lamborghini convertible to me. If you want to make God happy, give away your white Mercedes. If you want to make God happy, give all your toys to the children in Tanzania. This is one of those verses of scripture that we refuse to interpret literally. When it comes to the verses where Jesus tells us to give away everything we own, we want to grind that verse to make it fit. I do it. You do it. We all do it. What choices do we have? One is to play with the words of Jesus, to twist them and make them palatable to our lives. Another possibility would be strictly and rigidly to follow every command and every call of Jesus. It might be nearly impossible to do, and no one in human history has ever been successful at it, but we could try. There is a third possibility. In fact, it's not just a possibility, I think it's a reality where most of us are. We could admit that Jesus meant everything he said in Scripture, And he truly calls us to obey, but we're sinners and we've said no. And further, we confess this sinfulness to God and ask him to forgive us. Again and again, forgive us. And God, in his amazing grace, says, "Have no fear, little flock. Have no fear, little flock. For your Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. Have no fear, little flock." We're people on a journey. The rules are real. The hard sayings of Jesus in Scripture are not figures of speech, but rather calls us to obedience. Jesus takes the way just as we are, but he's not content to leave us the way we are. So he challenges us over a lifetime to serve him, not out of legalism, but out of love. And one day, all of us will be rid of our possessions and safely in God's kingdom. Until that day, we seek to be honest with ourselves and honest with God about our sin and trust that he is still gracious. So let us pray. Jesus, take me as I am. I can come no other way. Take me deeper into you. Make my flesh life melt away. Make me like a precious stone, crystal clear and finely honed. Life of Jesus shining through, giving glory back to you. Amen. Now we have a hymn, "When We Walk With the Lord," 599.
Glory.
And as we stand together, we join together in saying what we believe. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Deborah will now come and pray with us.
Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Father, we thank you for the great love you have shown to us by making us the precious gift of your kingdom. All too often we become entangled in worldly values, where the comfort of earthly possessions causes us to lose sight of your promise to us. Help us to evaluate the true worth of those things we pursue, and forgive us when we fall short. Give us grace and courage to walk the way ahead where you are leading, not weighing our lot against the values in this life, but fixing our eyes on the greatest prize of everlasting life in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our world. In every walk of life, there is great suffering as natural disaster, disease, and conflict take their toll on mankind. In many cases, we have no answers and can only lay the needs of all who are suffering at your feet. Comfort those caught up in war and crisis. Surround those who are fearful for their future with your loving care, and give wisdom to those tasked with making decisions. May they be guided by compassion and duty in the choices they make for those in their charge. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In our own benefice, we ask for your blessing upon Graham, David, and Mary as they shoulder the responsibility for our leadership during this time of interregnum. Gracious God, you are with us always. We thank you for guiding us by your Spirit through our life together as a church. We pray that we may hear your voice at this time. Grant us patience, grant us vision, and grant us courage as we seek a new priest for our two churches. And by your grace, lead us to be a more Christ-like church, a church that is contemplative, compassionate, and courageous. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. During this month of August, there is an opportunity to take a break from routine as activities are suspended for a few weeks. We ask that your hand will be upon those who are away, perhaps enjoying holiday time with families, and pray that over the coming days, we will all feel a sense of energy and refreshment, ready for the beginning of the coming season in your service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we ask for your comfort for those in need of help at this time. You understand all our petitions, and we know that you are in the midst of our trials. Be with those who are sad, lonely, in pain, or any other distress for their situation. Give us the wisdom to speak or give silent comfort when needed, to be generous with our time and compassion. From our notice sheet, we bring before you Amanda and her family, and Caden and his family, and in a moment of silence, anyone else on our heart this morning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lastly, we give thanks for the lives of those who have died in recent days or whose anniversary falls at this time. In particular, this morning, we think of Stephen Hollier, Anne Stockwell, and Christine Brown. Comfort their friends and families, and all who are left behind following the death of a loved one. You have promised that one day there will be no death or mourning, no crying or pain. Help us to look beyond our sorrow to the great promise of eternal life with you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now, as our Saviour has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Deborah. And our final hymn, our offertory hymn, is Take My Life and Let It Be, Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Number 519.
Thank you.
Now, as we're standing, we face each other across the aisle, and we say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Thank you. The love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all whom we love and all whom we love now and always. Amen. Don't forget to join us for coffee.